You're listening to Bottom Shelf Bitcoin. This is episode 41. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Bottom Shelf Bitcoin, the podcast that puts Bitcoin knowledge within everyone's reach. As always, I'm your host, Josh Humphrey, and today I am talking to Space Cat and creator of the Lightning Torch, Hodlanaut. Hodlanaut, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, man. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so before we get into all of the Torch stuff, why don't you give us kind of an idea, your background, where you were at before Bitcoin and what got you into Bitcoin?
Yeah, I guess I need to be a little bit careful since I don't like to dox myself too much.
But, yeah, for sure. We don't want to dox you.
But I got into Bitcoin in 2013. I've been working full time until this summer in another job completely unrelated to Bitcoin. Since summer, I've been full-time rabbit hole Bitcoin guy.
Very cool. So what was it about Bitcoin that got you excited in the first place?
I think the scarcity aspect was the first thing that struck me with Bitcoin. Kind of blew my mind to think about that. If I got one of these suckers, I got one of 21 million that will ever be there. So yeah, the scarcity thing was a big thing for me early on, since it was kind of the complete opposite to what I was feeling with the fiat banking system.
Yeah, I was talking to some friends the other night about this, and it's like, really, the scarcity really kind of boggles people's minds.
Yeah.
Because we had he was talking to some people at the local university here, you know, a group of students, and they really had a hard time wrapping their mind around that, because the Keynesians have been preaching for so long that a limited supply is bad for all these made up reasons. And he just was like trying to make them understand that it's not bad. But then it has all these other consequences that change. We were just talking about that at our local meetup. Like it changes the way that you start to view other things. So
yeah. Yeah. Cool. It's a funny thing how scarcity as a concept is almost a taboo in society these days.
Right, because we don't want permanent consequences for our actions, or if there's consequences, they should be paid by somebody else. You know, it's like you might make a decision and it might have consequences for a long time after this, and you know, that's what real life actually happens anyway. We're just deluding ourselves into that, believing that that's not how it works.
Yeah, we definitely removed ourselves a lot from the consequence and the personal responsibility side of things.
Okay, so can I ask then what you're working on since this summer? Or is that undisclosed at this moment?
You know, I'm not really working on anything. I'm just enjoying being a part of the community and learning as much as I can, and basically being open to opportunities. And I kind of think that I will be involved in, like, Lightning is such an exciting tech. So, and I think it's obvious that there will be a lot of opportunities for doing stuff with Lightning. So I'm kind of on the lookout for things to get involved in.
Yeah. So, we can go ahead and transition then into the Lightning Torch or the Lightning Trust Chain, however you want to call it. How did that idea get started?
It got started from like a couple of weeks before that. Now the lightning torch is crazy. It's more than a month old already. This month has zipped by so fast and so much has happened. But back then, I had done a couple of like Twitter things where I sent satoshis to people who replied to some threads just to get people excited about it. And I really enjoyed like the feeling of sending small amounts of satoshis to people around the world. And it was apparent to me that, or I was kind of surprised by how many people were out there replying to this and wanting to receive satoshis. And then I had this just a random idea. What if I send a certain amount of satoshis and ask people to add something to it and pass it on? Then we can like find out more about the community, get to know people, see what happens. Basically, the idea kind of grew as it went. It was started as just a random initiative, and it kind of grew into what it has become.
Yeah, I think it's really, I don't know how else to say it. It's just kind of fun to send satoshis back and forth. Like, I think we all recognize this isn't that big, but it's just kind of fun to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's the instant nature of it combined with the fact that you're actually sending Bitcoin that makes it awesome. It's kind of, for me, and I heard other people say it as well, it's kind of the same excitement as the first on-chain transactions I did many years ago.
I remember sending my first couple on-chain. I don't know, still sometimes I'm like, I don't panic as much anymore, but I do kind of get this adrenaline rush and like rereading the address three times to make sure I'm not sending value out into the void to never be recovered.
Exactly. I think all Bitcoiners have had some increased heart rate when they're sending.
So then you sent the first one. So you started this thing. I'm trying to pull up the...
Yeah, January 19th was the first...
January 19th? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. And you basically just said, it started with 100,000 sats, was that right?
Yeah, I put 100,000 sats and I wanted people to add the 10K sats.
Yeah.
But so, in the beginning, it was kind of very, very unorganized, or like I wasn't in a position to enforce anything either, but I didn't like, some people forgot to add, they just sent the same amount, and some people added more. At one point, we had the Rockstar dev. He actually added 1 million satoshis when he sent to Jack Mallers. But as it matured, it has grown more into like everyone adds 10K. That's how it is.
So I'm trying to think here. It's, what's the price today is like in US dollars? Are we getting close to 4?
Yeah, I guess we are like hovering just under 4 on Bitstamp.
So 10,000 satoshis is like, how much is
10,000 satoshis should be something like half a dollar or less than half a dollar.
Yeah. So it's not a, so it's like 40 cents, something like that. So
yeah.
You know, it's not that much for each person to add on, but it kind of cumulatively starts to add up.
The thing is the total amount, right? Like that has reached a sum that will be interesting for some people. I guess a couple hundred dollars or what it is now.
Right.
And, but still, I feel that the risk of someone actually stealing it now is pretty slim. I mean, that would be kind of a public reputational suicide. But
So let's talk about that. Like that happened.
Yeah.
Right.
We had the, give me a sec. I'll see what number of the chain it was. pretty early on when the chain was worth or the torch was worth $9, we had this guy taking it. Let's see. Yeah, it was at the 18th link that this was already. This was in the first day of the chain, actually. And we had the 17 successful passes, and then one guy just decided to, yeah, I want this $9.
Copy guys. Right.
But yeah. Then, and I, my first thought was, okay, this was fun, but it ended here. I wouldn't have done anything more to keep it going, but the guy that sent it to this to the dude who stole it, he just decided on his own to resend to another person, so the chain kept its integrity and kept going. And
yeah,
that's what
okay.
It did, and the chain kept going.
Where's the? I know there's a site, and I'm just blanking on it right now. That's got a list of everybody, right?
Yeah, it's takethetorch.online, which is made by this guy on Twitter called Bass_02, BAS_02. He's done a lot of work on his own initiative, so he deserves some recognition.
Yeah, very cool. I was trying to see. Does it? Okay, there's the list. Yeah, sorry, my window wasn't resizing. So, who was it that restarted?
The first restarter was Ruben Johansen, number 17.
Oh yeah, I see it there. Yeah.
So he was the first hero of the chain, or maybe the second hero. The first hero was Fartface 2000, right?
Right, Fartface, because he took it. He took that first step.
He took the first step, and he has the most awesome handle.
Yeah. Now is Fartface? Is he the one that has the Bitcoin piggies, or is that somebody else?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he's got the, if y'all don't know, y'all check out, it's just funny, it's totally an internet culture thing, right? Like Fartface2000 is his Twitter handle, but he's got these little kid looking piggy banks, and they come with an open dime, so to teach kids about savings through Bitcoin, but it doesn't, he doesn't have the private keys, because it's an uninitialized open dime that comes with it, so very cool.
You can buy it without the open dime too, right? So you can just put your own in if you.
Oh, okay.
I think so, at least. I'm not completely
maybe
sure. But yeah, it's so funny that last night Fidelity took the torch, and this huge institutional thing with the first link, they took the torch of a thing that was first passed to a guy called Fartface2000.
Right. Like, no one's ever going to take this seriously, Fartface. Okay, but Fidelity just took it, so.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Ruben Johansen
was the first guy who kept it alive when it was.
Kept it alive.
Yeah.
And then it happened again, right?
It happened again. It happened quite a bit later when the torch was worth a little bit more. Let's see. That was a guy called...
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Klaus Löfgren was the guy who sent. And I don't remember the name of the guy who took it, but he definitely took it. But then later on, the day after getting a lot of blowback, when Klaus had already sent the torch on, he said something like, yeah, I didn't intend to take it, or something like that. And
it was just publicity stunt, kind of.
Something like that. But he sent the funds back to Klaus. So.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Well,
so he didn't,
I mean, there's
steal
that.
It, but he did definitely try to sabotage the chain. And he was kind of annoyed. I think he quoted something like, this being a stupid circle jerk and just virtue signaling, and I was just negative about it. So he wanted to end it for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Man, some people are just negative for no reason. Yeah, there's a lot of people on here. Yeah, you can ask.
I think we have 230 links now with something like 220 unique participants, because some people have held the torch more than once.
What's your feeling on forks? Because it looks kind of, I mean, you could almost say that, right? Like when somebody took it and didn't pass it on, it's almost like it forked and then that fork died. But we've had some altcoiners and some people that I would kind of go about holding the torch, but they did pass it on. So
yeah,
what's your feeling on?
It's been several times that I've been like feeling that we've been in dangerous waters. I don't think we're going to have any more trouble from here on in, because I think everyone realizes that this is a very positive thing, and I can't see anyone receiving it just to try to destroy it. But regarding the thefts, I don't really, I guess you could call them forks, but I mean, since none of them tried to further their new chain, kind of never forked. It was more like,
right,
it rooted around some bad nodes or something.
Yeah, that's probably a better analogy. Yeah. But I did see like a couple of other altcoins tried to say that they could do it too, and I was just like, you're missing the point.
Yeah, I think there have been several both altcoins starting chains, and also several other copies of the trust chain on Bitcoin. I've been kind of, when I've seen them, I just made some tweets like, I'm not involved in this, cool that you're doing yeah. stuff on Lightning, but because I don't want people to potentially try to scam people or do something then that will be connected to the trust chain.
Yeah, you want to keep it on the up and up. Okay, so beyond the just the fun of it, I think this serves as a really cool way to stress test the network and channel capacity.
Definitely.
Because there's it, you know, kind of explain a little bit about what's required in order to, especially now that the amount is, let's see.
3.66 million
down.
Sats right now.
Right. So, you know, that's not, now, I mean, for Fidelity, it's a trivial amount, right? But it's, I mean, for most people to put that on Lightning is not a trivial amount. What is that? 3.
Yeah, that's 0.036 Bitcoins.
36 so, Bitcoin, which is, why is this not, whatever. Let me see.
That's like a thing I've been talking a bit about in regards to this, that in my opinion, Satoshis is the native unit of Lightning Network. And I think
right.
most people agree with that. And I do think that this will drive adoption of Satoshis as the unit we think of Bitcoin in. And I think we
yeah,
should
for
do
sure.
it, because messing with these decimals, it's always hard for our brains to compute those decimal amounts. Yeah.
Right, and it's it's frustrating to have to try and do it, and doing it in Satoshis, and the other thing is like as the value increases because of that limited supply, like we talked about earlier, like the beautiful thing about Bitcoin is that it's divisible, and mm-hmm. we've already got this small unit, and so instead of dealing in I heard somebody put it this way, like as the value of the US dollar went down, you know, people talk about, you know, going from cents to dollars to talking about things in Benjamins, which is hundreds, which is slang for a mm-hmm. hundred, or other slang for hundreds, or grands, you know, which is a thousand, but it'll be the opposite way.
Mm.
For a deflationary currency, right? Because the
exactly.
value gets more, so you have to divide it into smaller and smaller units to account by.
Yeah, and I think if we I think the smart move would be to just move to Satoshis as what we use when we quote the mounts in Bitcoin, and then put the metric system on top of that. So you can talk about K sets and mega sets and giga sets. I think that'll be a good and easy to understand way to quote value in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Okay, so it's $141 worth right now, is what's on the torch. So if somebody wants to take that torch, well, not take it, right? It's a push system. If somebody wants to create an invoice for that amount to send to Fidelity, for Fidelity to send to them, what's required of that? Because some people, you know, I just recently finally spun up a Lightning node, and I'm kind of realizing like it's not as now. Pierre Richard has this node launcher that makes it very easy to get it up and running. But as far as channel management and things like that, like what's required? Kind of give us an explanation of what's required to create that.
Yeah, sure. I'm just gonna ask you first. Do you run LND or C Lightning?
I do.
LND.
LND. Yeah.
Yeah, what you need first you have the two routes, right? You can go custodial or you can run your own node. And that's been, that's an ongoing discussion right now. Like
that's a hot topic.
You have the maximalists that some maximalists claiming that all custodial solutions are cancer and using them is shitting on Bitcoin basically, and it will lead to nothing good. And you have the, like, my opinion is that it's a great way to expose noobs to Lightning, and I've seen several people who started, like, they started with a custodial wallet, ended up thinking Lightning was very interesting, read more, and ended up spinning up their own node. So for me, it's a great way to get people exposed without the first step being too hard. But if you wanna run your own node, I mean, you have several options. You can buy a Casa HODL, for example, or a Nodlet, which the Casa HODL has an autopilot thing that can just like automatically open channels for you. Which I think they need to work more on that autopilot feature, because it opens a lot of bad channels with badly routing nodes. Or you can, I think it's easier than most people think to just start up your own full node and use LND from command line. I found it really fun, not too hard, and very educational. But channel wise, to receive the torch, you need at least the amount of the torch in inbound capacity. Which can be difficult if you just spun up your node. So an easy way to do it is a little shout out to Bitrefill. They have this thing called the Tor service, where they supply you with inbound liquidity for a fee, which is a quick and easy way to get a lot of inbound liquidity.
So like, you pay them like in fiat or on chain, and then...
I'm not sure what, I haven't used it myself. I think they accept both Bitcoin and fiat for their service. So you basically pay them to supply you with liquidity. I'm not really sure what their fees are for doing it either, but I know that many people have used it and are very, it works. It's very good. But if you want to make your own channels, a good option is, Lightning Power Users, which is a node run by Pierre Rochard, and he basically opens the same amount of liquidity back to you. At least he did. I think he still does, and that node is awesome for routing. But we want to avoid the hub and spoke model too, right? So in my opinion, it's have one hub and spoke channel to a very good connected node like Lightning Power Users. And then support the network by opening channels with, I suggest opening channels with people you know. It's a great way to build, to network and build relationships with people in the Lightning community.
Yeah. And so then, but even once you open the channel, you have to make sure that there is enough. How am I trying to say this? There's enough sats on the far side that can come back to you.
Yeah, that's the first thing, right? You need at this point, you need at least 3.66 million sats on the far side, the inbound liquidity. And then as well, you need to have at least 10K Satoshis. That's what you add, right, to send it on. You need to have that
right
on your side of the same channel you are receiving, because at the moment on Lightning, this will change. This will be made more sophisticated later. But at the moment, you need the full amount in one channel to send. But in the future, you can have you can send from different channels, if you know what I mean.
Right. So right now, for those of you listening who haven't played around on Lightning, so think of it like a line on an abacus, right? And you've got the beads, and say there's 10 beads total. And so if you've got, you know, 3 on your side and 7 on the far side, all that you can receive, you can receive at most 7, but you can send at most 3 out. It's kind of a fixed capacity, and then and you can't add more to that channel.
Exactly.
I think there's a couple of things coming where one of them would allow you to use another on-chain payment to add or take away from the capacity of that channel. And then there's another thing coming, I think it's called AMP, where you would be able to split a payment. Because right now, right, like we're talking about a direct channel, one node to one node, but in reality, you've got to have that liquidity all the way through that route to whoever you're trying to send to. So, it's one thing that they're talking about that would make it easier, or they're working on, not just talking about it, but would split that payment into multiple smaller payments that would have an easier time finding paths through the network. And then they would, you know, meet back up on the far side, essentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think, you know, back to your comment about custodial versus non-custodial, you know, I think people are still very on edge, maybe too strong, but people are very defensive about some of the things that have gone on in the past, with exchanges and other companies that had custodial services. And I agree, right? Like, obviously best is you need to be in control of your private keys. You need to be in control of your coins. And I think that I don't think it's a cancer on Bitcoin to have custodial services, but there really are, it sounds like we're being hyperbolic, but there really are people who view it that way.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's a cancer on Bitcoin. I think it's not a good idea. And I think when you are, I do think there are people out there who it makes the difference for them between do they come into Bitcoin or not? Do they come into Lightning or not? To have an easy onboarding process. Oh, by the way, this is custodial. And as their friend, it's your job to tell them, hey, get it off the exchange. Don't use custodial services, you know?
Yeah, at least educate people to be completely aware of what they're actually doing. And that at this moment,
right.
This moment, you're trusting
You can't
someone.
Make that decision. And, yeah. You like, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, like that, make them completely aware that it's not, in my opinion, it's not a good idea to have any meaningful amount of money in a custodial service, but having a couple of coffees worth of money to play around with Lightning is perfectly fine, in my opinion. But educate people and let them make their own decisions of the amount of trust they're comfortable with. But what we don't want is people using custodial wallets and thinking that's the same as running your own node.
Yeah, agreed. Right. Like, you can't make someone's decision for them. If they're going to, if they're gonna put their money in someone else's hands, like you can't stop them. But yes, we need to make sure that we're fully educating people so that they know, hey, yeah, so you don't control that money.
I completely understand and in some way sympathize with the cancer crowd. But I kind of like to balance things and not be too black and white. And in my opinion, I think there are definitely upsides to have these services like Tipping Me and Blue Wallet, and it's much easier way to create buzz and adoption of Lightning than if we are gonna be super maximalist about it and say you're not allowed to have fun with this even if you don't run your own node.
Yeah. So okay, now here is my question though, because I've had this conversation with people. Why was it called the trust chain if we are, I mean, while we're talking about this full node thing and non-custodial versus custodial, why did it get called the Lightning trust chain if we're supposed to be not trusting but verifying?
Because we're trusting with the torch. That's basically what I did when I sent to Fartface. I trusted him to pass it on. He could have kept it. It's the same thing about being able to keep two concepts in our heads at the same time. I think the trust here is in our community members, like that we trust that they have good intentions in participating in this cool and fun thing. At the same time, we know that we participate in a trustless system called Bitcoin, and we all appreciate the trustlessness of Bitcoin. But that doesn't mean we can't... That doesn't mean that the community and the humans in the community are suddenly reduced to binary code and mathematics. They're still humans, and I think it's very nice and cool to have a community that we can basically have a little feeling of trust towards each other in it. I trust a lot of people in the community. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy and fight for the trustlessness of Bitcoin.
There's the technical aspects and the social aspects, and they overlap in some places and they're different in some places.
It doesn't mean that we need to trust each other either. It's just like it's a good vibe kind of thing, to because it means that all of these 200 plus people have kind of shown themselves to be trustworthy, and that ended up in being this quite viral and cool thing that we created together.
Yeah. So what have been, well, real quick, sorry, the going back to the network test thing, so by putting these ever increasing amounts, Just so we've said this, because I don't know if some people haven't been playing around on Lightning, may not still have the full picture, because you have to have the full payment available all the way across the entire path routing through, right? Like, sure, you can make a direct channel to the person, and that's the simplest way. But if you're not making a direct channel with that person, by increasing the capacity of each of these channels across the routing path, then overall we're bringing up the capacity of Lightning Network as a whole.
Yeah, we are, and we're making the network more robust in its early. We're bootstrapping it, basically. We're helping bootstrapping it. And we had lots of examples. I'm sure. Yeah, I can remember many of them on the way where people encountered capacity issues and ended up both educating themselves on the workings of Lightning and problem solving how to sort out these capacity issues. And so they both learned something, and the people reading the thread learned something. And it was also great to see how many people from the community have been helping each other to sort out these problems.
Yeah, and I think something else for me, you know, when people are like, well, why are you doing this? This is pointless. This is stupid. Some of it, too, is just a proof of of concept of what's capable, that is not capable in a fiat system. If you're thinking about like how many people were involved, how many countries were involved. When I say countries, I mean people in various countries all over the world throwing these small amounts of money around, how many hops it made in such a short time frame, especially in the first 2 weeks, with basically zero fees. Like, there's no way you could make a chain of 30 and 40 cent payments across that many countries around the world with essentially zero fee. Like, the fees would have to transmit money that to that many places would have far outweighed the value that was being sent.
Yeah, and the time of doing it would have probably spanned into the years.
God, yeah, it would have taken forever to send that kind of money.
Yeah. At some point, one guy had the, or girl, I don't remember, had the suggestion that we should try to replicate the torch with fiat money and see how, like, send the same route with fiat money. Of course, it will never happen because of the doxing aspect, but...
I was going to say, I will not pass along my bank information to the internet. Thank you.
Me neither. But it would be really funny to see all the shit people would encounter when they, like, if you see some of the handovers, some of the places we've been, like from Poland to St. Petersburg in Russia, from Morocco to Germany to Uruguay. I mean, try to do that shit with your bank. It's gonna be,
yeah, good luck.
So time consuming and so expensive.
Right. And if you want to see up to, Tai Kawamoto, aka the Hungry Hodler, he has some really good videos on YouTube. But he has this video, and I'll link it in the show notes. And I think it's up on that Take the Torch site too. Yeah. And I don't know what date it goes through. But he's got this really cool visualization of the back and forth as the torch moved.
If you've been listening to the show recently, you'll know I launched BitcoinMeritBadge.com, an online store where you can buy Velcro-backed patches to celebrate accomplishments and culture in Bitcoin. It's a great way to support my work and show off your love for Bitcoin at the same time. But what you might not know is that my manufacturer, Patcheon, is also a Bitcoin-friendly business. Patcheon has been accepting Bitcoin since 2011 and accepts on-chain and Lightning Network Bitcoin, as well as a handful of other cryptocurrency payments. Patcheon will work with you to build custom embroidered patches to fit your need, including various backings like adhesive and Velcro. There's no minimum order, so whether you want a big patch or a small patch, one or 1,000, Patcheon is your stop for custom embroidered patches. Check them out today at patcheon.uk.
He did a really good job of highlighting some of the cooler moments, like when Jack Mallers sent it on from he was on a plane,
yeah,
and then got the torch and then sent it on.
Yeah, it was somewhere over the Atlantic.
Yeah. So what's been the most surprising or the coolest part of this for you?
The most surprising and the coolest, I think I will have to say that it was when Jack Dorsey picked up the torch and started the tweeting Bitcoin maximalist stuff afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was really surprised. Like, yeah, he got a little high on the torch dust there and started.
Yeah. You know. Yeah,
you should check out Ethereum. No.
It took one swig too many from the torch keg. But I woke up that one morning and saw that Jack Dorsey had followed me on Twitter, and he had tweeted something about Lightning being awesome tech and alluding to future Twitter integration or something. And that felt kind of unreal. So that's the thing I remember most. But I thought it was really, really cool that 88-year-old grandmother Sonia participated the other day.
Yeah, I saw that. That was very cool too.
That was very cool.
So
I hope
we're haven't held the torch, so she's done more than I have.
Yeah, it's not too late, man. Spam some invoices.
right. Well, I got to build up my channel capacity first, but
yeah. It's been many cool moments at least, and I think they just keep on coming. I don't know if did you watch Kaiser Report today?
I have not.
Yeah, they dedicated half of their episode to the torch because Stacy and Max they have held the torch, so they kind of filmed that and gave it a lot of attention. That was pretty cool too.
That is cool. I'll send me the link to that and I'll post it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I'll send it to you after.
So where does this go? Because we have a there, as far as I know, there's a right now anyways a limit on the amount of satoshis you can send over the network.
Yeah, 4.29 million sats is the limit now. If you want it routed, if you do a direct channel payment, you can go up to the channel limit, which is 16 million satoshi.
Okay. So what happens when we hit that limit?
When we hit that limit, everything is getting donated to BTC Venezuela. I started this Tallycoin fundraiser as well on request from the community. I did a poll after people asked me about it, and overwhelming amount of people wanted another way of donating. So the funds from Tallycoin and the funds from the torch will be donated to BTC Venezuela. We might possibly do that if some of the more technical guys in the community steps up and wants to do one of these. I think it's called a Bumble transaction, like a custom transaction that can exceed the transaction limit. We might do one or two of those just to show that it's possible, but it's basically getting donated when we reach 4.29 million, which is 63 more links.
Just 63 more links. So if you guys want to be involved in the torch,
yeah,
boost your channel capacity and get in.
The clock is ticking.
I have noticed that the movement has slowed down as the amount gets higher.
Yeah, the rate of the passing has slowed down quite dramatically, which is... I'm pretty sure it's because this is getting so much attention, and many people who get it, they want to like make a splash when they send it, so they try to get some big name to send it to.
Sure.
Fortunately, not everyone does that, because I want to see as many grassroots regular Bitcoin people participate as possible. Like right now we have this Iranian guy who's trying to get in. He's been really persistent. He runs his own node in Iran, which I think is like he's the kind of guy that definitely needs to get the torch at some point. Iran is a country that with all the censorship and shit happening there, I mean, that's the kind of country we want the torch to visit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's freedom money.
Yeah, so, I mean, the torchbearer always decides where it goes, right? This is an organic thing. I can suggest or say that I think stuff would be cool, but it's always the torchbearer that decides. But, if I was to decide, I would probably pick this unknown Iranian guy before Fidelity.
right. I'm just guessing here. I'm finding it unlikely that Fidelity is going to pass it on to an Iranian guy.
No, they already passed it on actually to Harvard.
Oh, did they?
Harvard Crypto Club or something.
Oh, okay.
So it's already like this club at Harvard is called the Harvard Crypto Club, and they already, after picking up the torch, they already get tweets coming in like, "Why are you calling yourself Harvard Crypto Club? You need to change to Harvard Bitcoin Club." And I totally agree.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, like people. Well, I mean, what's Max Hillebrand is?
Yeah, that's another guy.
His like World Crypto Network or whatever, and it's like the only one he talks about is Bitcoin.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes I get it. Like, I don't see value in any other altcoin, but I also I think we've got to find some kind of balanced, measured response, because sometimes you've got to meet people where they're at. And
yeah,
but I still if you come on, I think there's a place for those people who are really, who take that really strong stance, and I'm appreciative that we have them.
Exactly.
I think, and I also know there's something to having that really strong stance in a public place like Twitter, and then having a more measured, a little gentler conversation in real life or one-on-one. So I kind of think that's probably how a lot of people are too, but I just, I don't know. I think we've got to be careful with language like, oh, these things are cancer or whatever.
Yeah, I can see where people from different stances are coming from, and I can respect their stances, and I think they have value. It's very, this is how we want it, right? We don't want to have everyone marching under the same flag and spouting the same rhetoric. We don't want this to be, we need the different voices. That's how we evolve. And we definitely need the hardliners that our last line of defense from sliding into shitcoinery. but we also need the more measured voices that can keep several thoughts in their head at the same time and build bridges and stuff. And also, nothing is black and white, right? Of course, there are projects other than Bitcoin that participate in driving this whole thing forward, if nothing else, with some ideas or some like testing out shit. I'm also of the opinion, like you, that Bitcoin is going to win this thing by a landslide, and it's going to be the last coin standing. But I'm not by any means saying that every other project is a scam or something like that, because I think that's not true, and then we kind of go nowhere by saying stuff like that.
Yeah. So Alex Hardy, who I interviewed a couple episodes ago, he has a really good post. I'll try and put a link in the notes where he talks about like using specific language instead of calling everything a scam. There are things that are let me see if I can find it real quick. He had a term for it. Crypto shenanigans. Crypto shenanigans, which is kind of like this gray area of that's a little shady, but it's not an outright malicious scam. So
exactly. The problem is that we have so many full-on scams and so many completely horrible fraudulent projects out there that it's easy to fall into this frustration and borderline hate of everything that's not Bitcoin.
Yep. Oh, going back a little bit, what were you talking about, the a Bumble transaction or something?
Yeah, Bumble. I'm not really educated on it. It's Wumble. I'm not really sure if what they're doing. I know that it's possible to do your own build of LND, right? Where you just like remove the hard code. It's just a hard coded limit, the 4.29 million, where you just remove it, and you have another client removing it as well, and then you can basically send higher amounts between those clients. But as I said, I'm not sure. I don't think Bumble is the same thing. I haven't researched it. It's some form of technique or procedure to bypass the limit.
Gotcha. All right, I'm gonna look into this, and if I find anything, I'll post it. excuse me. If I find anything, I'll post it in the show notes for everybody. But yeah, I'm gonna look this up. Anything else we need to talk about or touch on, or
I'm not
any
sure.
Advice for?
I think we've touched upon some cool things relating to this. I think like one of, besides this, the Lightning focus lately, it's been a bit of talk about the block size reduction proposal, right? I think I hope that I'm kind of afraid that we will fracture the community again over this, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. And again, we don't want everybody to be like 100% in agreement
exactly
about everything. So we have to be careful when we say things like fracture the community, because the community is not unified, and even the word community can be dangerous because you can get associated with people that maybe you don't necessarily want to be associated with, because Bitcoin itself doesn't care, right, who uses Bitcoin.
Very true.
But there is the necessity of consensus around what Bitcoin is and what the correct blockchain is. Now, talking about the block size decrease proposals and stuff, and I don't know, like, and Luke's another one of those hardliners that I think he's very strong in his beliefs, and he is really intelligent and not always the easiest guy. I don't have personal experience. I'm just saying from what I've viewed, he's not always the easiest person to get along with. But at the same time, I think overall he's been good for the development of Bitcoin. And
like, he was instrumental in the UASF in 2017.
Right. Exactly. But I also look at it and I go, but even if he doesn't, or from what I've seen anyways, you know, even if he doesn't agree with a lot of people on something, he's not, so look at a lot of other people who had early adopters who had different views from a large portion of the community. What did they do? They went off and made their own altcoin, you know, and he hasn't done that. So I think while he may not agree with everybody on what's best for Bitcoin, he also understands the danger of forking the community.
Yeah, I hope he does. I think it's being pushed too hard. It should be much more like, let's talk about this. Here's the data. We need more opinions on this. Let's investigate. But at the moment, it's kind of unclear what data is being used. Like, I know that the node count data that Luke is using is collected closed source by himself. He doesn't like to talk about the verifiable node count, like the reachable node count, that he says that doesn't matter at all because that is rising. But I mean, I think we just need more data and keep the discussion as civil as possible. And I totally agree with you on the dangers of talking about fracturing the community as if the community is this completely unified thing in the first place. Let's respect each other as much as possible and shed as much light on this thing as possible.
Yep, very cool. All right, Hadlanat, how can people keep up with you?
Twitter is the only way, I guess. That's where I am. So my direct messages are still open on Twitter. Contact me on Twitter if you want to ask me something or get in touch.
Cool, very cool. All right, man, this has been a lot of fun. And hopefully we will see where this torch goes, and excited about helping out BTC Venezuela and putting this community effort towards a good cause. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Nice to talk to you.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. Y'all go follow Hadlanat and check out TakeTheTorch.online to see the progress of the Lightning Torch. And be sure while you're there to check out the Hungry Hodler's video. It's just a really well done, like the music and everything. He did a great job with the visualizations. So go check that out. And I'd like to once again thank one of the sponsors for the show, Bitcoin-only.com. If you don't know about Bitcoin Only, it's a simple, clean site that serves as a resource for products and services and podcasts and more that are only about Bitcoin. I'm not really sure if you say Bitcoin Dash only or Bitcoin hyphen only. I know apparently different places say it differently. I'm going to say a hyphen just so we don't get confused with the altcoin Dash. It's not associated with Dash at all. It's Bitcoin only, Bitcoin hyphen only. Anyway, check it out. Created by Twitter user at 6102Bitcoin. Yeah, to be a kind of a distraction-free gateway for learning about Bitcoin. So check out bitcoin-only.com and give him a follow on Twitter. Again, 6102Bitcoin. And DM him if you've got suggestions for something you think is only about Bitcoin and should be on the site there. In other news, I had a friend of mine in real life who listened to an episode or two of the show and kind of challenged me that some of the recent episodes are not very bottom shelfy. They're not accessible necessarily to a new audience. There's a bunch of, things they were trying to kind of pick up from context that weren't specifically said. So, I'm going back to my original five or six episodes, however many it was, re-listening through those, figuring out which ones I would still stand by and which ones I think need to be reworked. And I'm going to be releasing a sort of, Bitcoin 101 series, if you want to call it that, which will be a mix of old and new content. So sorry for those of you that have been listening for a while, you may hear, older episodes reposted, and then just kind of very basic content in the next couple of weeks. But hopefully this will be more evergreen content that I can then point listeners to if they are new to Bitcoin and need a starting place before they jump into newer stuff. I'm also working on a redesign of my site because I have basically ignored it. If anybody actually goes to the site, then you will notice it is woefully under-maintained. So forgive me for that. I'm working on kind of a redesign and clean things up a little bit. It just, with the changeover to Anchor, because Anchor does so much that the site is not super necessary. It used to host the feed itself. That's where I used to publish and update the RSS feed for the podcast through the site. But since moving over to Anchor, and Anchor manages all that, and then just some other busyness of life kind of things going on, I just have not done a great job of maintaining the content over on the site. So hopefully I will be updating that and kind of simplifying certain things and emphasizing some other things, and it will be a better resource. I think in the end product will be a cleaner, better user interface, a better useful resource. And then, like I said, that Bitcoin 101 playlist that you'll be able to point friends and family to, that lays a really good foundation for jumping into more current things after listening through that. So anyway, as always, your support is greatly appreciated. Please listen, share the show, subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. If you'd like to more directly, more financially support me, you can do so at bottomshelfbitcoin.com/donate and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at bottomshelfbtc. My DMs are open. Always feel free to message me and give me suggestions or feedback on the show. Anyway, come back next week and we're going to be, like I said, probably diving into, it may just be a repost, it may be a repost of the very first episode I did, which is what is Bitcoin. I think if I'm going to be redoing, or if I'm going to be reposting or doing very basic content, I may try and get a couple episodes out next week, just because, you know, like I said, it's going to be very review for a lot of people who have not, I mean, sorry, it will be a review for people who have been listening to this or who've been in Bitcoin for a while. It'll probably be very basic, so I will try and get a couple episodes out next week, just so that, you know, you're not sitting here listening to this and going, yes, I know what Bitcoin is. But it will be a good resource, like I said, for people who are just now getting into Bitcoin. So anyway, from Bottom Shelf Bitcoin, I'm Josh Humphrey. Thanks for listening.